This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Whether it is still the case or not, Canada has been seen as a safe haven around the world for refugees, and particularly, I would say, political refugees. But it's not as easy to escape anymore. And some of those political refugees say they continue to be harassed and threatened even when they are here in this country. Now, there's a name for that. It's called transnational repression. And the question is, does the Canadian government care enough to do something about it? Well, Megan Davidson-Ladley has been looking at this and writing about it. Megan is a freelance journalist and contributor to The Walrus magazine and joins us now. Megan, thanks for being here.
Hi, Simi. Thanks for having me.
So, Megan, do you think Canada is still seen as a safe haven for political refugees?
Well, that's a very good question. I think there are a lot of countries that are also being asked that as well. I think that Canada is maybe reevaluating that a little bit. There has been a lot of conversation, I think, in the last year about measures that could definitely be improved, because there are certainly individuals in Canada who don't feel that they're safe.
Right. You wrote about this called transnational repression. What is that?
Transnational repression is basically where a state harasses and intimidates its dissidents who now live elsewhere. So an example of that could be a journalist who is critical of their home country's government, who seeks asylum in Canada, comes to Canada, but still faces harassment. And that harassment and intimidation can take a variety of forms. It can be direct violence, and a very high-profile example of that would be the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi by agents from Saudi Arabia. But it can also be much more subtle digital repression, which could be trolling on X. Or what occurs very frequently is just a lot of intimidating messages from over WhatsApp. But it could also be other things. It might be late night phone calls to your parents who still live in your home country, you know, telling them that maybe their child isn't actually as safe as they think they are. So there's a range of methods that rogue states can use to reach people who are not necessarily within their borders.
Right. And some of the stories you featured were quite telling in your article. So what did you come across in Canada? How is this happening here?
Canada, honestly, there are a lot of different players. And again, they're not just acting within Canada. But digital repression is definitely sort of the widespread way that these states go after their dissidents, but, you know, other factors are involved. And in Canada, China is definitely one of those players, Iran, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and some would say Pakistan and India.
And so what is happening in some of these cases? What did you hear about?
Well, I spoke to quite a few different people. In one instance, it was an individual who had fled his province in Pakistan, had come here, and it just really didn't stop. He continued to face a lot of online harassment, a lot of anonymous WhatsApp messages, and then his personal details, his address when he was a student, was made available. And there was some concern that the Pakistani security services were looking to possibly come after him in Canada. He was assigned a CESA agent when he arrived, but Canada tends to handle these cases in sort of a patchwork manner. So even though he had a direct line to CSIS, which not everyone I talked to did, he still found himself going, to his campus police, going to the Ontario police, saying, I don't feel safe. And they would sort of direct him to another law enforcement body. And it just wasn't an effective way of dealing with his concern.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like we are prepared for these kinds of new ways of finding people.
No, I think when people think of, foreign interference, certainly in our national conversation, we're thinking of, China's possible involvement in our last two federal elections. But these digital threats really go outside the traditional framework of national security. And I think that's maybe why they're a little bit trickier to get a handle on. But that doesn't mean, we shouldn't be doing it. And other countries are definitely enacting measures that, Canada could follow suit with.
We're going to have to read more about it. Listen, Megan, thank you so much for describing it to us today.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate your time. That's Megan Davidson-Ladley, a freelance journalist and contributor to The Walrus Magazine. She writes about this extensively and profiles a number of people who have had these concerns and these problems of transnational repression. They come to Canada, they're fleeing, their home country's government, they're political refugees, and then they come here and the harassment doesn't stop. And they feel like that long reach continues right here in Canada. What is the government prepared to do about it? It is a different type of foreign interference, but it's still foreign interference, isn't it?